Morning. We're on Sadi Dalit Amun Aleph and Ein Yaakov Var on page Kufya Dalit, paragraph Samechet, Tana, Yishum, Rabbi Papias. It's taught in a Brisa in the name of Rabbi Papias. Genai hu lechizkiyahu v'siyato shelo amru shira. It was disgraceful for, or it was an embarrassment to Chizkiyah and his cohort that they did not say Shira ad shabatcha aretz amar Shira until the earth opened up and said Shira shenemar b'knaf aretz amar shemanu tzvila tzadik v'gomer. Chizkiyah experienced miracles of Sancheriv being defeated and of recovering from his illness. And as we said, Hashem wanted to make him Mashiach, but because he didn't sing Shira, so he wasn't made Mashiach. Now the Gemara says that it's a gnai, it's an embarrassment or a disgrace to Chizkiyah and his generation that they did not sing Shira until the earth sang Shira. It sounds like once the earth sang Shira, they sang Shira. Similarly, you say, Vayomer Yitro, Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzil Lechem. Yisro said, Baruch Hashem, blessed is Hashem who saved you. Tana Mishum Rabbi Papias, and we learned in a brisa the name of Rabbi Papias, Genai hu l'moshe v'shishim ribo shelo amru Baruch ad sheba Yitro v'mar Baruch Hashem. It's a disgrace or an embarrassment for Moshe and 600,000 people that they did not say Baruch until Yitro came along and said Baruch Hashem. Now, they did sing Shira, they sang Az Yashir, but apparently there's some other criticism here of them for not saying Baruch Hashem. We'll have to see what that is. The Marsha says that the Gemara doesn't mean that nobody before Yisro said Baruch Hashem. Noach said in last week's Parsha, after the incident where Noach got drunk and was lying in his tent undressed and Shem and Yefet came and covered him, so Noach said Baruch Hashem, okay, Shem. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, said Baruch Hashem, okay, Abraham. So it doesn't mean that nobody said Baruch Hashem before Yisro said Baruch Hashem. It just means that Moshe and Bnei Yisrael experienced a miracle, a public miracle, for which they should have said Baruch Hashem, and they didn't.
In addition to
Az Yashir. In addition to Az Yashir. Question is why? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Toras Chaim on Ar Gemara, which we actually saw once before, says that if a person experiences a miracle, he has to thank Hashem. As Gemara says, there are four who have to give thanks: one who crosses the sea, one who crosses the desert, one who gets out of jail, and one who recovers from illness. That's Birkas HaGomel. And furthermore, if it's a public miracle, he has to sing Shira. As Gemara in Pesachim says, that Chazal established Hallel for public miracles. That's why we say Hallel on Pesach and Chanukah. Gemara asks why we don't say Hallel on Purim. We see that there's a concept of saying Hallel on Purim. So there are two concepts. There's Birkas HaGomel, Baruch Atah Hashem. Baruch Hashem is a short version of that, or as well as singing Shira. That's why we find in the Song of Dvorah, after they defeated Sisra, Pasuk says, "Bit nadev am barchu Hashem," and it says, "Amit nadvim ba'am barchu Hashem," that in the Shira, she tells them, "Say Baruch Hashem." Need both things: Baruch Hashem for the miracle of being saved, and also Shira, Hallel, because it's a public miracle. So that's why they need both things. One's for an individual and one's for a tzibur. So he says that when Yisro said Baruch Hashem, he says Mistama, presumably everyone heard and said Amen. Doesn't actually say that in the pasuk, but presumably that's what happened. And so that's the language of the Gemara.
Everybody heard.
That's not a question. Well, when Moshe spoke, everyone heard. So why couldn't everyone hear when you saw? The Gemara says Shelo Amru Baruch Ad Sheba Yitro Baruch. They did not say Baruch until Yisro came and said Baruch. It implies that when Yisro said it, it doesn't say they didn't say it and Yisro said it. It says they didn't say it until Yisro said it. So when Yisro said it, they were yotze with his bracha. The brachos had not actually been invented yet in the form that we have them, but saying Baruch Hashem apparently is a substitute for that. Similarly, the language of the Gemara is that Chizkia and his generation did not sing Shira until the earth sang Shira. The implication is they heard somehow, they heard the earth sing Shira, and they said Amen. And they were yotze with that. He brings that this is apparently the source for the halacha that after a woman gives birth, the first Shabbos that a woman goes to shul after she gives birth, her husband gets an aliyah. And the idea is, because our custom is that a woman does not say Birkas HaGomel after giving birth, when her husband gets an aliyah and says Baruch Hashem Baruch, Baruch Hashem Baruch L'olam Va'ed, she should listen and he should have in mind that he's praising Hashem for his wife's safe childbirth and the miracle of childbirth. And that's the origin of that custom. Why is that an earthquake? Somehow they heard they had the VM in their time. I don't know what it sounded like, but somehow they sensed that the earth was singing Shira. Say in Hallel, Hallelu et Hashem kol goyim, praise Hashem all the nations. Shabchu kol omim, again, praise Him all the nations. Ki gavar aleinu chasdo, because Hashem's kindness on us was overpowering. Many commentaries ask, what does that mean? The goyim should give praise because Hashem's kindness to us was overpowering? Why are they giving praise on Hashem's kindness to us? The one answer that's given is only the goyim know, only the Gentiles know all the things they're plotting against us. We don't even know. So when Hashem saves us from the plots of the goyim, we can't give praise because we didn't even know about it. But they, if they're paying attention, they could see how we were saved from their plots, so they could give praise. That's an explanation that's given. It's not what I want to talk about now. The Brisker Rav, Rav Velvel Soloveitchik, says that Rashi says on that pasuk, Rashi really asks the question, why should the goyim give praise on the kindness that Hashem does to us? And he says that when the goyim see great wonders that Hashem does for us, they'll give praise. So Brisker Rav explains that there are two components to giving thanks and praise. One is to give thanks and praise for the goodness that I received. The other is to acknowledge Hashem's greatness. Is looking at it from my perspective, I received something, I have to give thanks. And there's that Hashem, we acknowledge Hashem is awesome. That's a separate component of it. So if we receive goodness from Hashem in a way that doesn't particularly reveal His greatness, then we have to give thanks. But if there's a public display of Hashem's greatness that the entire world can see, then the entire world should acknowledge it. And that's what it means, Hallelujah to Hashem Kogoyim, that the Goyim should praise Hashem, Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasto. Not only Hashem did chesed for us, but there was gvura, there was power in his kindness. So the whole world could see it. And therefore the Goyim should praise Hashem as well. He says that the future redemption as well, the Navi tells us that there will be wonders like the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, therefore, even the Goyim, even the Gentiles will have to praise Hashem because of the public wonders. And he says that this is the meaning of Pasuk, or Psukim, in Tehillim, in chapter 98. It says, Shiru l'Hashem shir chadash, ki nifla'ot asa. Sing to Hashem a new song, because he has done wonders. Hodiah Hashem yishuato l'nei goyim. Hashem revealed his salvation to the eyes of the goyim. Gilat zidkato zachar chastov v'nato l'beit Yisrael. He revealed his righteousness. He remembered his kindness and his promise for the Jewish people. Ra'u kol afsei aretz. Everyone in the land saw at Yeshuat Elokeinu, the salvation that Hashem did. Hariu l'Hashem kol aretz. The entire earth should give praise. It says it's the same, expressing the same idea, that since the entire world will see the salvation of the Jewish people, it will be, so we will have an obligation to give thanks for what he did to us. But in addition, the entire world will have an obligation to give praise for the greatness of Hashem. That's what the Briskerov says. Briskerov himself is not addressing our Gemara. However, in a sefer called Shiurei Zos LeYaakov by Rav Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein, who passed away a year and a half ago. He was a Rosh Hashiva in Israel. But he connects this idea of the Briskerov to our Gemara. We know the Jewish people sang Shira. They sang Az Yashir after Kriyas Yamsuf. However, that's a song on the praising Hashem for the miracle, the public miracle that he did. But in addition, they should have given thanks. Chizki, on the other hand, he presumably gave thanks. Doesn't say explicitly anywhere that he said Birkas HaGomel when he got up from his illness or something similar to Birkas HaGomel. But the Medrash says that Chizkiah did not sing Shira because Chizkiah said, the whole world knows about the miracle that happened. Sanherib had 185,000 soldiers who died mysteriously at one time. It's going to be in all the newspapers. Everyone's going to know about it. I don't have to sing Shira. The point of Shira is to publicize Hashem's miracles, and it's already public. And he was mistaken, because that's the whole point of Shira, is to further publicize Hashem's miracles. He says that this explains the structure of the Haggadah on Pesach. Right before the meal, the last thing before we drink the second cup of wine, we say first two chapters of Hallel, which is called Hallel Mitzrayim. The first two chapters of Hallel is known as Hallel of Egypt, because it talks about how Hashem saved us from Egypt, and it talks about the splitting of the sea. And then right after that, we say the bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, who redeemed us, Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, blessed is Hashem, who is the Redeemer of Israel. So these are the two components. There's the Hallel, which is the praise of Hashem's wonders, and then the bracha that we say right afterwards, which is like a Birkas HaGomel. It's like thanking Hashem for the private salvation that he did to us. And that's exactly the same thing that our Gemara is saying, that Chizkiah, there are two separate things. Chizkiah presumably got the Birkas HaGomel, but he didn't get the Shira. The Jewish people, after the splitting of the sea, they got the Shira, but didn't get the Baruch Hashem, until Yisro came and taught them to say Baruch Hashem. He says further that, says we can learn from here an important principle regarding spiritual matters. Because regarding physical matters, we say Bichlal Matayim Maneh, literally means 100 is included in 200. If you're a billionaire, you're also a millionaire. We don't need to say you're a millionaire and a billionaire, because a billion includes a million. Right? But when it comes to spiritual matters, it's not like that. And every individual spiritual accomplishment counts. So you can't say, well, they sang Shira, they sang Az Yashir, they reached a very high level of revelation of prophecy, so they left out a little Birkas HaGomel, big deal. No, every separate spiritual accomplishment counts. For example, this is my example, not his, but a person could learn the entire Talmud Bavli, but he never learned Mishnayos. So you think, well, what's the big deal? He learned the entire Talmud Bavli. No, you got to learn Talmud Bavli. You got to learn Chumash with Rashi. You got to learn Mishnayos. You got to learn Halacha. Every separate thing. It's not that one takes the place of another. Every spiritual accomplishment, the big ones and the small ones, count separately. So that is Rav Shmuel Yaakov Bornstein. Speaking of Birkas HaGomel, the Sefer Beit Gnazai, by Rav Rafal Moshe Luria. He was also a Rosh Hashiva in Israel, and he passed away about 10 years ago. And he wrote dozens of svarim on various topics. In the volume Beit Gnazai on Arba Smachot, four joyous occasions, Bris Milah, Pidyon HaBen, Bar Mitzvah, and marriage, he discusses Birkas HaGomel and bringing a Karban Todai, Thanksgiving offering. We typically think that Birkas HaGomel, saying Birkas HaGomel, is the simply our present day version of bringing a Karban Todah, bringing a Thanksgiving offering. He says this actually seems to be a machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Bechaye to Rishonim. Rashi says that the Gemara says that four people have to give thanks: one who crossed the sea, one who crossed the desert, one who got out of jail, and one who recovered from an illness. And Rashi in Parshas Tzav says that these are the same four who bring a Korban Todah. Rabbeinu Bechaye, however, says that a person brings a Korban Todah for anything for which he has to give thanks. For example, someone gets married, brings Korban Todah. We don't find that somebody gets married says Birkas HaGomel. Insert your joke at this point, but anytime a person feels like there's something he should give thanks for, perhaps. It's easy to pay lip service to giving thanks to Hashem every day, but if a person genuinely feels thankful and he wants to bring Korban Todah, perhaps he could, according to Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye says he seems to be saying on a specific event, like getting married. So I don't know if you could extend that to I wake up in the morning and I feel thankful and
this is my example. So when I run, it's my custom sprint. So I say mentally, when I'm running, thank you, Hashem, that I have the ability to run. So this is like an everyday event. So I'm saying it's supposed to be something special that's out of the ordinary.
Rabbeinu Bechaye mentions as an example getting married. Hopefully that's something special and out of the ordinary. Whether he would extend it to more mundane feelings of thanks, I don't know. Rav Luria brings a proof for Rabbeinu Bechaye's position from a medrash. Famous medrash says that in the future, all sacrifices will no longer exist. except for Korban Todah. And he brings a Radak, this Yirmiyah Perek Chavtet, who says that all Korbanos, Korban Chatas, Korban Ola, they all have, as well as the public, many of the public Korbanos, if not all the public Korbanos, have some aspect of seeking forgiveness. Korban Chatas is for a person who transgressed a negative commandment for which there was death penalty, for example, transgressing Shabbos inadvertently, Korban Chatas. Korban Ola is for a person who transgressed a positive commandment. All Korbanos have some aspect of seeking forgiveness, except for a Korban Todah, which is completely voluntary, just an expression of thanksgiving. So the Medrash says, Korban Todah will continue to exist in the future. But what are you going to bring a Korban Todah for? Rav Luria asks. If it's for crossing the sea or crossing the desert or getting out of jail or being sick, why do those things happen? Why does a person cross the sea and go through a terrible storm and think he's going to lose his life? These are all forms of Yisurin to cleanse us of our sins. If a person's sick, it's to cleanse him of something. But if there's not going to be sin in the future, then there won't have to be suffering. And what's the person going to bring Korban Todah for? Must be that a person's going to bring a Korban Todah for getting married, and or for something perhaps similar, but specifically the example Rabbeinu Chai gave was getting married. So he says that this medrash supports the position of Rabbeinu Chai. Then goes on and says that there are two aspects to bringing a Korban Todah, which is it sounds a little similar to what we were saying about the two things that should have happened. We said that Chizkiah apparently said Birkas HaGomel but didn't sing Shira. Moshe Rabbeinu sang Shira but didn't say Birkas HaGomel. And the Brisker Rav explained that the Brisker Rav wasn't talking about that Gemara. Rav Bornstein explained, based on the Brisker Rav, that there's the personal thanksgiving and then the public acknowledgement of Hashem's greatness. So Rav Luria says something similar about Korban Todah. There's the aspect of giving thanks. Bringing the Korban Todah is an expression of thanks. Korban Todah is an animal and 40 loaves of bread, which have to be consumed before sunrise the next day. I don't advise eating 40 loaves of bread between this morning and sunrise tomorrow. Okay, so that's exactly the point. Not one person doesn't have to eat them. The whole point is that it forces him to make a Sudas Hoda, to make a Thanksgiving meal and to invite all his friends and to tell his friends about the wonders that happened to him. It's built into the Korban Todah that the only way you could consume it is by inviting your friends over. And so that's the second aspect of it. It's reminiscent of this idea that there are two parts to Thanksgiving. There's the personal giving thanks, and then there's the publicizing, because if you invite all your friends on a Tuesday for a Sudas Hoda, they're going to ask why, and you're going to tell them about the miracle that happened to you. So there's the personal thanksgiving, and there's the aspect of publicizing the miracle. It comes out, according to what he's saying, that if a person is invited to a wedding, that person should have this in mind. Certainly the parents making the wedding, and as well as the guests who go, should have in mind that they're going to a suda of thanksgiving for the miracle of marrying off children, which is a miracle. Since we're talking about saying Baruch Hashem, so I figured might as well talk about its sister phrase, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. Two things that we say perhaps sometimes by rote, and we don't necessarily appreciate their meaning. How are you doing today? Baruch Hashem. Okay, what do you tell me? You have to say Baruch Hashem fine or Baruch Hashem terrible. Give thanks to Hashem that you're okay, or give thanks to Hashem that you're not okay. But either way, give thanks to Hashem. We just say Baruch Hashem. One time, early in my career, my boss asked me if I'm going to be able to work on Sunday. And I said, God willing. He said, I don't want to know if God's willing. I want to know if you're willing. So you have to say it in the right context. The Shlach Kadosh writes in Shar HaOtios, letter Aleph, paragraph Yudalid, Bichlal Dveikuta Emuna, included in Emuna, Shomar al Kol Pula Shrutzei Lasot, that a person should say about everything that he wants to do, Afil Zman Karov, even if he's going to do it immediately, Ese Ze Imirtz Hashem, I will do this, Imirtz Hashem, if Hashem wills. You might think, well, the Shlach was sitting right here, I just had to open it and read it. I should have said, Imirtz Hashem, I'm going to read the Shlach. Hein shiyeh devar gadol o devar katan, whether it's something big or something small. V'siman cha, an allusion to this, is atzat Hashem hi takum. The counsel of Hashem, it will occur. We say, rabot machshava v'levish, a person has a lot of ideas in his head. Atzat Hashem hi takum. And what Hashem wants, that's what's going to happen. So he is Rashi Tevot, is the acronym in, if you have to reverse the letters, Im Yirtz Hashem. Ve'az Takum. If that's what Hashem wants, then it will arise. V'chein Im Yitzel Asot Eizem Asal Matan. If a person goes to do business, K'gon Liknot Ol Inchor Eizem Schara, to sell, to buy or to sell some merchandise, Yomar Ani Votech V'Hashem Kavev V'zos Siva Yishlach Li Hashem Yibrach V'zonotai V'tzorchai. Person's going to work, he should say, I'm going to work now, and Yirtz Hashem, this is how Hashem will send me my sustenance. Could be that's not how Hashem will send him his sustenance. We think just because we're going to work that we have sustenance, but Hashem has lots of plans. Does Hashem open up a window in heaven and drop money in a person? No. Hashem Yitrach Mazmin Ritzonotov Ala Teva. Hashem gives a person money through natural means. So when we go to work, we should have in mind we're doing this to fulfill Hashem's will, and hopefully, Mirtz Hashem, this is how I will get my sustenance. Kemosha Amru Rabbeinu Zal, as Medrash says, Berechacha Hashem Elokecha, Hashem will bless you. Medrash says, Yachol afilu yoshev batel. I might think Hashem will bless you if you sit at home and do nothing. Talmud Lomar, Asher Taseh. It says, Yachol maseh adcha, Asher Taseh. Hashem will bless you through, will bless the deeds of your hands. That's the end of the Medrash. Vivtach, so a person should be confident, Ki ha'esek hazeh hu ha'sibash shlech lo Hashem yivrach ha'katsuv lo. That through this, through these means, Hashem will send him his sustenance. In other words, a person shouldn't think, well, I have to go to work and do my ishtadlus, but Hashem will send me my sustenance however he wants. That's true, but he's saying that a person should think, I'm going to work, and Im Yirtz Hashem, this is how Hashem will send me my sustenance. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time going to work. Hashem wants us to be sustained through natural means. if a person earns money, he doesn't say where. I assume he's referring to in Shar HaBitachon, where there are lots of different ways understanding the idea of bitachon, of having trust in Hashem. Chovos Halvavos says that Chovos Halvavos is one of the earliest Sfarim we have after the time of the Gemara. Not the earliest, but one of the earliest. And he says that bitachon, having bitachon means knowing that whatever we do is successful if Hashem wants it to be successful. Some understand bitachon as meaning sit back and you know, sit and learn all day, and Hashem will take care of you. And sometimes Hashem does do that. But bitachon, according to Chavos Levavos, bitachon means you do what you're supposed to do. You live a natural life. Just be aware that your success or lack of success comes from Hashem. If you succeed, it's because Hashem wanted you to. If you don't succeed, then accept the fact it's because Hashem wanted. That's what Hashem wanted. That's what bitachon means, in essence. Obviously, there's more to it. But I assume that's the Chovos Halvavos he's referring to. So, v'imir v'yach, if a person earns money, yomar hervachti v'zrat Hashem yitbarach, he should say, I earned money with the help of Hashem. Pasuk says, you should know that Hashem is the one who gives you the strength to do great things. I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before in this year. It doesn't mean that, again, the pasuk there saying is Parshat Ekev, saying when you do what you're doing, don't be haughty about it. Know that Hashem, so if you earn money easily, if you make killing in the stock market, know that it's Hashem who put the idea in your head to buy that stock that turned you overnight into a multimillionaire. And similarly, the opposite. If something bad happens to him, you should say, this came to me from Hashem because of some sin. You should try to figure out mida kenegan mida, what he did. We talked about this in the shir on mida kenegan mida early on. One of the reasons that Hashem punishes a person measure for measure with a punishment that fits the sin is so that a person can identify the sin. Lokomo eza blidat nimshal kavemot. Not like some people with no intelligence who are like animals, is the language of the Shla. When they lose a lot of money, they close their hands and give less tzedakah. Obviously, you can't give what you don't have, but he means somebody who could afford to give tzedakah, but because he lost a lot of money, he gives less tzedakah. Rehu kimechabe eish b'tevin. He says that's like putting out a fire by throwing straw on it. It's true, the fire will be subdued momentarily, but then it's going to burn more. So if a person loses money in the stock market and his response is to give less tzedakah, he's missing the point. He says, give another example. It's like drinking salt water to quench your thirst. It will quench your thirst momentarily, but then you'll be more thirsty. And rather, the solution for a person who lost money is to examine his deeds and figure out why he lost money. Perhaps the reason he lost money was because he's giving less tzedakah. Or maybe his attitude towards giving tzedakah, maybe he's giving the same amount, but maybe he used to give it with a smile, and now he feels like the mishalachim knocking on the door are annoying him, interrupting his dinner. As the Gemara says that the smile, same thing with kibud av v'aim, those who are fortunate to have parents, is the attitude is as important or more important than the actual deed. So if a person comes to your door, if all you can give him is a dollar and you give it with a smile, that's worth more than if you give him $18 and feel like he was bothering you. Make him feel like he was bothering you. Similarly, when a person goes to do anything, Yomar ani alech lasot ze b'rishut Hashem yitbarach l'man shmo. I'm going to do this with the permission of Hashem and to glorify Hashem's name. So now he's changing the subject a little bit. If a person, or he's adding to it. So if a person goes to the doctor, a person goes to work, he should say, first of all, Im yirtz Hashem, if God wills, I will go to work. I will go to the doctor. And if God wills, then this procedure will be successful, or this work will be successful. More than that, furthermore, a person should have in mind that with everything he does, he's doing it to glorify Hashem's name. If I go to work, I go to the doctor, and my work or the procedure that I had is successful, and I praise Hashem, and I have in mind from the very beginning that I will praise Hashem, so I'm glorifying Hashem's name. Whatever happens to a person, he should believe and trust that it comes from Hashem. That includes, he says, if a person insults you, embarrasses you, curses you, you should accept it with love and say, Hashem told him, this is the words of David HaMelech, when Shimi ben Gera cursed him. Hashem amar lo kalel. Hashem told him to curse. He's Hashem's messenger because of my sins. Says that this is how a person should behave in everything that he does. V'chein v'chol pula u'malacha sh'oseh b'v'chirato, everything that a person does voluntarily, both a mitzvah or something that's completely voluntary, like building a house. Yesh shem shemayim shagur b'fiv. So you should have Hashem's name should be regular on his lips. If he's building a building or connect kli, or he's buying something, go to buy a new couch, or seb beged chadash, make a new suit, or buy a new suit. So should again say Yirtz Hashem, Baruch Hashem, and Baruch Hashem, I'll have a new suit to wear to shul on Shabbos, or Baruch Hashem, I'll have a new suit to wear to work.
On the going to play, as opposed to having bought.
Both. He's saying everything that a person does is where we find by Yosef. It says that that Potiphar saw that Hashem was with him. How'd Potiphar know that Hashem was with him? Because everything Yosef did, he said, Yirtz Hashem, Baruch Hashem, at all stages, before, during, after, constantly invoking the name of Hashem. Goes on in this vein, then he starts to get Kabbalistic and talk about the Shem Yichud that you find in some Sidurim before various mitzvahs. We will leave the Kabbalistic aspects of it, but that's in a nutshell, these little tfilos that are found in some Sidurim before mitzvahs is one before putting on tefillin. It's most common, it's in every Siddur. The idea is that we're expressing our desire to glorify Hashem through performing the mitzvot. That's essentially, in a nutshell, what it boils down to. Have a good day. Yirtz Hashem, we will see you tomorrow.